Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, February 18th, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Today, we're going to take a little trip into the life of a florist. That florist here right now is Wrangell's Artha DeRuyter, who owns On the Water Floral. You can call in to ask a question or leave a comment. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Artha. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for coming in. So Valentine's Day just passed.
Yes. Yay.
How was it for On the Water Floral, the holiday?
It was good. Not bad. I overordered a little bit, and I am a one-man show, so it gets pretty busy. I had lots of flowers, which was really fun to see in the shop, having the shop full of flowers.
Yeah, what kind of flowers?
Oh, we get roses. All our roses come from South America through Seattle. I order mostly from Washington Floral.
And awesome. And
I had lots of Ostromeria, carnations, mini carns, lilies, orchids. I actually had some orchids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are the orchids all gone?
Yes.
I do want to go into the shop.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I'd love for you to. I can special order almost anything for people. I ordered Protea for someone a couple weeks ago, which were just beautiful.
Oh, wow. I don't know what Protea is.
It's kind of a Hawaii. You see them a lot in Hawaii. They grow a lot of them in Hawaii, and they're kind of a round, spiky-looking ball. It's hard to describe.
What color?
Oh, they come mostly in pinks and blacks.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that color combination.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
So your shop was full of flowers.
Yes.
You had room, but what did it look like in there?
It was crowded. And we don't have a cooler, so we built a makeshift cooler in our window. And I've got this big window that I set a table up next to and then just built like a wooden frame and put plastic over it, and I'd crack the window open just a little bit because you'd like to keep cooler about 40 degrees for flowers.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I just kept adjusting the window, a little more open, a little less. Kept an eye on the temperature the whole time. The temperatures are perfect right now for a little makeshift cooler.
So they thrived,
the flowers. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have plans to get a cooler then? Or
not at this time, I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm only open in the winters. We have a boat, and so we're gone a lot in the summer.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how long has your shop, the brick and mortar shop, been open here in Wrangell?
About a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've had you've had On the Water Floral in different forms, right?
I have. I started it on our boat. That's why I named it On the Water Floral, because we were on the boat. That was 3 years ago, I think. And I started off at Christmas time, and I made a bunch of silk arrangements and greens, fresh greens and stuff, and sold them at the community market. And that's kind of how I got started.
Yeah. So when you say silk arrangements, you constructed the flowers yourself?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so you were on the boat, like, making the floral arrangements?
Yes. We have a big open area in the back of the boat that we call the greenhouse, and it's all enclosed. It got a little chilly out there sometimes, but it made a great little workspace.
Awesome. Cool. So what inspired you to open up shop here?
Well, I've been a florist my whole life. I started off in my early 20s. I actually went to Portland to go to floral design school. Oh, wow. I went to a 6-week school, and I've been in the floral business off and on ever since my early 20s. So I've done it for a long time. I owned my own flower shop in Fairbanks for a while, which is where I'm from.
Yeah.
And that's where I have done the majority of my work, was in Fairbanks. But when the other flower shop here closed, I ended up buying some of her stuff, and that kind of got me going.
Okay, cool. I had no idea. Well, it makes sense that there is a training for florists. I know I mentioned this to you before, but I used to really want to be a florist too. And so if I knew about the training.
Yeah, I think they're still in business too. It's called the Western School of Floral Design.
Oh, cool.
And it was in Portland, Oregon.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Will you just like share a couple things that you learned as a newcomer? And you're not a newcomer anymore, obviously. How long have you been a florist for?
Since my early 20s. I've been doing it off and on for over 40 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
Anything challenging, like when you were learning about?
I think when I first learned, I had to get over my fear of damaging the flowers, of breaking them all, you know. I remember getting my first job in Fairbanks when I came back. I was a delivery driver in a flower shop. And I remember opening that first box of flowers, and I was so gentle with them. Now I just grab them and rip the paper off and cut their stems and throw them in a bucket, you know.
And most of them are resilient.
They're very resilient, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and flowers are grown, I think, hardier now than they were 40 years ago. Mm. Like a lot of this stuff does come from South America, and they're growing it more for longevity than fragrance, so you don't see much fragrance in your flowers anymore. Mm. But the roses are just getting bigger and bigger and longer stems, and they last a long time.
Do you know where in South America?
Like Ecuador. A lot of them in Ecuador and Colombia.
Okay. So they obviously have to, I mean, how did they come here? By barge or plane?
Oh, by plane.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they have to fly them. And they get sent to different wholesalers throughout the United States. And mine is in Seattle.
Okay.
And then they fly them here.
Yeah.
So it's a long trip.
Yeah, it's a very long trip.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to become a florist?
Well, I was a single mother at the time and decided that I needed to do something, you know, have some trajectory in my life. And I always liked flowers. Ever since I was a little kid, I always liked flowers. And so I thought, well, we'll give this a try. And it wasn't that long of a school. It was only 6 weeks. And so that's how I got into that.
How old was your child when you?
I think he was about 3.
Okay.
Two or three.
He went to Portland with you?
No. I have a wonderful supportive family. And my mother took care of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That's really great. So you've had floral shops in Fairbanks.
Yes.
And in Wrangell.
Yes.
Anywhere else?
No.
Okay.
But I have worked in the Chicago area when my husband went back to school. He's a psychologist, and he went back to school at Wheaton. So I did work in a very nice silk flower shop there for a while and a wholesale shop.
Okay, cool.
Which was kind of fun to see different aspects of the floral business.
Yeah, wholesale would be like a bunch of flowers, right?
It was more hard goods and silk flowers.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see. Cool. How did your shops differ from each other? Were there any huge differences?
You mean my shop here compared to Fairbanks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My shop in Fairbanks was right downtown in Fairbanks, and it was much larger. You know, it was its own shop, whereas the shop I have now is in my house. And the shop I have now is just one little room. It's not very big.
Yeah.
But the one in Fairbanks was much larger, way busier because there's way more people. I had designers working for me and delivery drivers, and Valentine's Day could be a nightmare. You know, you'd have to hire extra delivery drivers because you would have 100 deliveries.
Oh, wow. Is Valentine's Day the busiest time for a florist?
Pretty much. It's the busiest day, whereas Mother's Day is the busiest week because with Mother's Day, people have flowers delivered and get flowers all throughout the week. Whereas Valentine's Day, it's mostly just a day.
That day.
Yeah.
What about graduation?
Some.
Okay.
Yeah, some. Not a lot. Prom is big.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot of prom corsages and boutonnieres.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned early, like to me, that you, a couple of years ago, stored flowers in your car, right? Here in Wrangell?
I did. I think that was a Mother's Day. But I was going to sell them. Oh, I know. I think it was either Valentine's Day or Mother's Day. I don't remember which. And I'm friends with the Canoe Lagoon Oysters. It's super nice people. And I was going to sell in front of their store, but the weather was terrible. Mm. And so I was allowed to do it over at the pavilion across the way from her shop. And so I was selling them there. And at night, I didn't want to haul them all down to the boat, so we just stuck them in the back of our little SUV. And again, the weather cooperated and was just the right temperature that I could store these flowers in my car, because I was down there for like two or three days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you sell out?
Mostly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try really hard not to overorder. It's a perishable product,
Yeah. You
know, and so you have to be really careful. You can have too much of a good thing.
There is such a thing.
Yeah.
during that time, you sold them under the pavilion. Were you outside in the bad weather, or were you just sitting in your car then?
No, I was outside. It was in the pavilion, so we were covered.
Okay.
But, yeah.
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 Do you have any memorable moments that affirms why you chose to be a florist?
One that comes to mind is in Fairbanks. We had a senior resident home, and I was able to meet with the manager and get everybody's birthdays. And so I would take flowers over there for everybody's birthday in like a little coffee mug, and took flowers to one guy, this older gentleman, and gave him his flowers. And he was so overwhelmed. He said he had never gotten flowers before in his entire life.
Aww.
And so it's little things like that. That make being a florist really cool. And then we also did what was called Good Neighbor Day, which I did here once so far, where we gave away roses. And we'd start off at like 8 a.m. and we gave away several hundred roses. And the goal of that was you got one dozen roses, each person, and you had to give 11 away to different people as a good neighbor, you know, Good Neighbor Day. And so we did have this one little boy come in, and he had some special needs, and he got his roses, and his mom says, "All right, now, what do you say?" And he said, "Awesome!" It was so cute, you know? It was so cool to do things like that, you know, to give back some as you can. And it brings joy. Flowers bring joy to people.
They definitely do. And do you have plans for Good Neighbor Day in this year?
I did it last October.
Okay.
And we did pretty good with it. And so, we may do it again.
Yeah. And, you know, just going back to something you said, I guess I never thought about it. Back in the day, people bought flowers based off of smell, the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's visual.
Yeah, more so. There are a few things that still have some nice fragrance, you know, like stock and lilacs, you know, things like that have some nice fragrance. But for the most part, they don't.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So have you had any strange requests in your past when it comes to setting up a bouquet arrangement?
Oh, every once in a while, not here, but this was again in Fairbanks, you'd get somebody mad at somebody and they'd want to send dead flowers, which we refused to do, or somebody wanting to send black flowers to someone, which again, we refused to do.
Did they tell you they were mad at this person and
mm-hmm.
that's why you refused?
Yeah. Or sometimes it's a joke, but generally I won't do that. I mean, anything that goes out of my shop has to go out in excellent condition.
Yeah.
You know, I have a reputation to maintain. And I want everything to be beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And you do have had black flowers before, though, right?
No, not really. There really isn't a pure black flower out there. You can find flowers, like they talk about black roses. You can get a dark red rose that's kind of blackish, or a deep, deep, deep purple. Mm-hmm. Some flowers can be a really deep purple and be almost blackish. But I personally have never seen a totally black flower.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love flowers.
I do too. I like growing them.
So I saw on your website a page dedicated for holidays and flowers of the month. So February is the month of the iris, and March next month is the daffodil. Do you know how the flowers of the month are determined?
I do not. That's a good question. I just looked those up.
Awesome. Great.
And you know, different roses, the colors can mean different things too. You know, like red roses stand for love. Mm-hmm. Yellow roses can be friendship.
Yeah.
White roses are purity and honesty. And I'm trying to think what pink roses. I think pink roses were friends also. They in the old days, you know, like back in the 1800s, they had their little nosegays, and they used those to make things smell better, because not everybody bathed in a regular fashion.
Yeah.
So that's why nosegays came about.
Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know what nosegays is.
It's a little bouquet of flowers that women used to hold in their hands.
Oh.
And it was just to help perfume the air.
Yeah. So would they buy...
And flowers back then had a lot of meaning, and they would give flowers... Young men would give flowers to girls, and certain flowers would have certain meaning. And it was kind of a way of sign language or talking to someone without saying it, you know.
So there's definitely a historical...
There is. There really is.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. Now I want to know.
I'm sure you can Google search it and find out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you carry these flowers of the month, like more of those types in the shop? Or
not generally. Okay. Some of the flowers of the month are garden flowers, and I really don't keep much garden flowers because they don't last as long. Mm-hmm. It's mostly more roses, carnations, the alstroemeria, iris sometimes. I'm starting to get tulips again. Daffodils will be coming out in the next month or so. But some of those things don't last as long. I try to keep more long-lasting flowers in the shop.
Yeah. So are those the longer-lasting, are those categorized, you know, a certain... Do they have a certain name as compared to garden flowers?
No.
No. Okay.
No, not really.
Okay. So also, you were one of 300 decorators who helped decorate the White House for the Christmas season.
Yes.
The Ringo Sentinel had a nice write-up on you on that.
Yeah.
So how many florists of those 300 were with you?
I don't know. That was really an exciting, very cool thing to do. Anybody can volunteer to be a White House decorator. Mm-hmm. You just go to their website and I think you have to fill it out in like end of August or September, somewhere in there. And they let me know in October, I think it was. It's all pay your own way. Once you get there, they break you up into groups. And the group there was about 10 or 12 people in my group. I was the only florist in my group. There was a lawyer, there was a teacher, a professor, a nurse, all different people from all walks of life, all ages. And you can sign up to go with somebody. Like there was a mother-daughter team there. And a husband-wife team. It was just amazing. It was so amazing.
How did you find out about that opportunity?
I learned about it probably 20 years ago working in the flower business. I may have seen it in one of the floral magazines. And I applied back then but didn't get it. And so just out of the blue, I just decided, I think I'll try again now that I'm semi-retired, you know, and give it another try. And I got in. So
yeah.
That was cool. And I was the only person from Alaska there, too, I think. I didn't meet any other Alaskans, and I met one person from Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you were... It's another layer because the Capitol Christmas tree came from here,
yes.
too.
Yes.
And so the T3 students and everyone else.
It was so cool to run into people you knew in Washington, D.C. Right into the kids, you know, and their chaperones, and got to see the tree light up. It was amazing. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Congratulations on that.
Oh, it was so neat. The White House is so amazing and interesting. It was so neat to be able to just wander around the White House and look at stuff. It's got amazing art in it and the most beautiful ceilings and walls and ornate mirrors and furniture. And it was just gorgeous.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So will you just tell us a little bit about your experience decorating the White House?
Yeah. Like I said, we were broke up into groups. Our group was called Team Cupid. Everybody's kind of named after a reindeer, I think.
Oh, there's a a reindeer called Cupid?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Pretty sure there is.
I'll have to study my reindeers again.
Anyway, we broke up into groups, and everybody was put in a different section of the White House. I guess just after Easter is when they decide what the theme will be for the following year. And they have a White House architect and decorator that determine what's going to go where. They have a huge warehouse where they store a lot of stuff. And then it's like a week-long decorating right around Thanksgiving, where they have some people come in before Thanksgiving and some after. And I was there after. People that come before get everything out of the warehouse, and they put it in the different rooms. And then they show you a picture of how they want it decorated. We did have a team leader who's been doing it for several years. And my group was to do the East Visitors entrance. And it's this huge, big, beautiful foyer hallway that was had all this garland already set up. And then we were to decorate this garland with gold balls. And we ended up wiring 6,000 gold balls into all this garland. And the ceilings are like 18-foot ceilings. We had all these big, tall ladders, you know, and we had a couple young guys, which were really nice, that were tall, and they could get up on those ladders. And we were just wiring these gold balls for 3 days.
Oh, how big were the gold balls?
They varied in size from just like 2 or 3 inches across up to like 6 inches across.
Okay.
All different shades of gold and different textures on them. They were mostly plastic, you know, they weren't glass. Everything had to be wired in because I guess they have little kids coming through there that are always touching everything, and they want to make sure everything stays in place. But as you walk through the White House and you watch other people decorating their rooms, almost everything is handmade. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised at that. They had people decorating styrofoam trees with all kinds of ribbon and pine cones and berries, and people upstairs. And they have this huge foyer upstairs. They had people cutting out paper doves. They cut out 1,000 paper doves to hang from the ceiling.
Wow.
It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And just so many things were handmade. I was really surprised at that.
Yeah.
And then they store all this stuff in their warehouse and mix and match and bring it out again later. And
yeah.
Yeah. And they had hundreds of live Christmas trees throughout the White House, but all the wreaths and the garland were artificial.
Okay.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Wow. That's really awesome. So when you were in your room, in the room, the White House mm-hmm. room that your group decorated, after you were all done decorating and you take a step back, will you just like tell us what that looked like? You know, there, give us a little idea.
It was so over the top. And what was interesting too, you weren't allowed to have your phone on you. They didn't want anybody taking pictures before the First Lady could do a reveal and tell what the plan was, you know, and it was all about peace and light this year. That's what it was called, peace and light. And so she did her big reveal on HGTV, and they walked through it after we were all finished with it. And then they had a reception for us so we could go back, and then we could take all the pictures we wanted,
yeah.
which was really cool. Because then when you see it all finished and all done, it's just wow. It's just so wow.
Yeah.
So over the top, extravagant, and beautiful. It's hard to explain. It is really, really beautiful.
I'm imagining.
Yeah. You can look at pictures on the, I'm sure they have a webpage full of pictures you can look at.
Yeah.
But each room was just morphed into the next, you know, and all this hallway that was full of gold balls, you know, working down to another hallway, and lights everywhere, and trees, decorated trees everywhere. It was just beautiful.
In your room, were the lights just like white lights or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
and upstairs they had the huge, huge Christmas trees, all decorated with different themes. And I did get to see, you know, they make the big gingerbread White House every year. And I got to see the chefs bring that in, which was really cool. Everybody kind of lined up and watched this huge, they're carrying this huge gingerbread White House through the halls very gently to get it into the main dining area and set it up. And it was fabulous.
That's amazing. And what was the gingerbread house eaten later?
No, I don't. I don't think it is. Every year, you know, they make one, and this one they had it all set up, and they even had like little figure skaters in the front that actually moved around. It was, I think, the little figure skaters were the only thing that weren't gingerbread.
Wow.
There was little trees, you know, and little wreaths on the White House. Everything was all made out of gingerbread and frosting.
So cool.
It really was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So back to On the Water Floral. Will you say when it's open and how people can order from you?
Oh, yes. I'm two houses down from the American Legion. I'm generally open from noon to 5, but I live there, so you can call me anytime and I will open the door and help you out. And you can call me at 907-388-0231.
Awesome. Great. And so upcoming holidays is, like you said, Mother's Day.
Easter. We have Administrative Assistance Day, which used to be called Secretary's Day.
Oh, when's that?
That's right around Easter.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, right around Easter. And then there's Mother's Day and prom, graduation.
Yep.
And then I will be out on the boat.
And then you're going, where are you going?
Oh, we don't know. I think we may dink around Prince of Wales Island this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? A
couple trips to Fairbanks. I have a niece getting married in Fairbanks, so I'll be doing her flowers.
Oh, cool. Where are you going to arrange them here?
No. I'll do it in Fairbanks. I'll order flowers and have them sent there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So I can special order flowers for people. I do weddings. I do memorial services, whatever.
Yeah.
Big parties, anniversaries.
Cool.
Yeah, just let me know.
All right, great. Is there anything else you would like to add about, you know, you as a florist or your experiences or your shop?
Oh, it's just fun to be here. We love Wrangell. Like I said, I'm from Fairbanks. It gets very, very cold and snowy, and it's so nice to do flowers here compared to Fairbanks. I generally don't have to worry about them freezing like in Fairbanks. It's life's a little easier here.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to Fairbanks, but I imagine it's a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And colder.
And colder, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping on in and sharing with us, you know, your experiences and your shop On the Water Floral. That was Artha DeRuyter talking about On the Water Floral.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome.
It's been fun.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to checking it out over there.
All right.